At least 14 people are dead and dozens more have been injured after Mount Semeru, the tallest volcano on Indonesia's main island of Java, erupted on Saturday. Flows of searing gas and lava travelled almost a kilometre down the mountain. Rescuers were sifting through smouldering debris and thick mud in search of survivors, with hundreds of families left homeless after the eruption. Volcanologist Heather Handley is an adjunct associate professor at Monash University. Heather, welcome to breakfast.
Thank you. Good morning.
Now, the head of Indonesia's geological survey says that a thunderstorm and days of heavy rain actually triggered this eruption. Can you explain for us just how and why this happens?
Yeah, so what they're thinking in this situation is they weren't seeing any signs of, you know, increased activity from below, which would be kind of earthquakes, you know, the sounds that the earth makes when the magma or molten rock moves towards the surface. And so they think there's storm and there was heavy rain and a storm. And what that's done is kind of, you know, erode or remove part of the rim of the volcano or part of the dome that was there. And then that's kind of depressurized the system. You know, it's like taking the top off, you know, a fizzy drink. It's depressurized the system a little bit. And that's what's triggered the eruption.
So Mount Semeru, I understand, had been at a level 3 alert stage for quite some time. Would there have been obvious warning signs that this was going to erupt?
So Semeru is one of the most active volcanoes in Java. So it's constantly, you know, doing something, often puts out a little ash plume or part of the, you know, the side may collapse and cause a pyroclastic flow, one of these hot air, hot gas and ash and debris kind of flows that go down the side. But they weren't, as far as I understand, expecting, you know, one of this magnitude. So they're used to frequent eruptions at the volcano. But what they're, you know, this was a little bit more a larger scale magnitude eruption than what they're used to as a normal kind of background behaviour.
Mm. As you say, one of Indonesia's most active volcanoes. I saw a figure of at least 55 times since 1818. So I guess you live around it at peril. How likely is it that there will be more eruptions now that we've had this one?
So I think the authorities are just very keenly observing at the moment to see what's going to happen. And it's hard to predict, you know, whether that's just kind of let off enough of the pressure in the system that it's calmed down again, or whether it might, you know, trigger more magma movement towards the surface. So at the moment, the authorities are just watching very closely to see what's happening and keeping those, you know, those distances around the summit of the volcano free of people, evacuated them where possible.
And what will scientists be looking for?
So they were looking for signs. So they were looking for maybe, so we get different types of earthquakes. So we get ones that are volcanic earthquakes. So they were looking for signs that more magma or magma is moving towards the surface. So getting, you know, earthquakes getting shallower, different types of earthquakes. It could be that there's different gas. So the temperature of the gas can change, or what gas type of gas is coming out can change. Some of this monitoring they can do remotely, which means like they don't have to be, you know, right there on the ground when it's so dangerous. And I guess they'll just be keeping an eye on just the signals of what the volcano is doing now and seeing whether it's calming down again to maybe background kind of activity. But this current phase has been active since 2014. So, you know, it is a volcano that they watch very closely because it is very active.
And is a 5-kilometre exclusion zone wide enough, do you think, or should it be further?
So, I mean, that the authorities obviously made their decision based on the information available to them. So the main hazards that they've got coming out of the volcano are obviously ash. So the ash plume that's gone in the air then falls and lands around. So that can damage buildings if they've got, you know, corrugated. I've seen a lot of pictures of corrugated iron roofs not managing to withstand that weight of the ash. If you get these lahars, these are volcanic mud flows. So a lot of the debris, the loose material on the sides of the volcano, if it starts to rain, and I believe they're being forecast within a few days of heavy rain ahead of them, that can then, you know, it kind of mixes with this loose material. The rain mixes, causes these mud flows that then can come down. And I think that's what destroyed one of the bridges. So they would be tend to come down the river valleys. So there'll be particular areas that have higher, you know, risk than others. And around the river valleys, it would be particularly dangerous at this time.
And in fact, I think from coverage I saw over the weekend that a lot of the damage to homes and infrastructure was actually caused by those volcanic mud flows. So does the risk depend now on what's going on with the weather in terms of those mud flows?
Yeah, it does. So the all that loose, we've got a lot of new material, fresh material that's just loose on the sides of the volcano. So if you get rain on top of that, then that can trigger these lahars, these volcanic mud flows to come down the valleys. So even if it's not the volcano that's actually erupting, there's still a risk, of a hazard of a lahar to the people that are living in the area.
And what about the ash cloud itself? How significant is it? I know in the past we've had issues where it's impacted the region, including as far as Australia. Is that going to be an issue this time round?
So we have the Darwin Volcanic Ash Advisory that monitors this area. So every time there's a volcano that erupts and it produces ash that goes into the atmosphere that might be either, of problem to aeroplanes, they monitor the directions and they advise, aircraft not to go in that area and go around it. And so from the reports that I've read, that it seems to be moving, obviously depends on the wind direction. And I read reports that some of the ash was moving towards the north. So if it moved towards the north, then that's away from Australia. But they'll be watching, they can track via satellites and track which way the ash cloud is moving to make sure that they advise planes not to go or fly through it.
Well, let's hope it does calm down. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks very much.
Volcanologist Heather Handley, she's an associate professor at Monash University.